This is the naked city, the city within the city, like an ugly wound, laid raw. The naked city.
It's time for another rambunctious, mind-popping, heart-stopping, lobe-lopping, huge and whopping edition of The Naked City. Of course, brought to you by Sydney Film School. Challenge the status quo, people. SydneyFilmSchool.com. Now join us for the next riveting 2 hours as we plunge headlong into a cornucopia of subterranea. You know there are millions of stories in this naked city, but today we've only got time for a few of them. And now your hosts, Miss Death, Coffin Ed, and of course myself, if I don't have a little heart attack here, J-Cats.
Oh, what an extraordinary morning it is today. Invasion Day 2008 here in the beautiful Sydney. And the big day out happened yesterday, but so much is in the news. Miss Death, how are you? Look radiant this
morning. I'm very
morning.
Well, thank you.
Coffin Ed, you look extraordinary. You've been using some sort of exfoliant on your skin, haven't
you? Pretty good, Jay Castle. Look, we have to apologise. There's a little bit of background noise today on the Naked City because Maynard's in here and he's having a sausage sizzle in the studio.
And I've got the sauce too, let me tell you, people.
Oh, you have got the sauce. We are so proud and privileged, and we thought, who's the greatest Australian we know to bring in on this day, and it's Maynard.
That's Maynard. Great, his second choice was Orson Welles, and he's not Australian or alive.
No, we realise that. We love the guy, but he is not Australian or alive, so that would have been absolutely absurd. Maynard, you're a legend on Sydney radio, and it's such a privilege to have you here on FBI, The Naked City. You're looking sparky.
Look, I jumped out of bed this morning, and it was so exciting to actually be doing a radio show where you could just say whatever you like.
Yeah, and believe me, we will be saying whatever we like. What an incredible week.
It has been, Jay Cats. Now, look, last week on the show, we mentioned about Bjork and her efforts to knit a Santa mask.
Her lack of knitting skills.
Disgusting. As you know, she cancelled from yesterday's big day out and was put down to a sore throat, but I've got the real story on it.
Oh, fantastic.
I was walking in the Botanical Gardens the other day.
Were you in the Second Life?
Bjork was actually down there after her show on Wednesday night.
The Ghost Garden.
Looking for the bats.
Okay.
They've all gone. Yeah. You know why? She hits those high octave notes, and apparently on Wednesday night she hits such
they
a high note.
They just all flew out.
They've gone. And look, the people out at the Olympic Park there at the wetlands who've been trying to get birds back there for years and years heard about it, and they said no Bjork at the big day out. They took out a restraining order.
Of course.
That was it. She's gone. Finished.
And was that with the King's Cross Police? Because they're great on those restraining orders and travelling musicians.
She's a danger to the ecology, I think.
Oh, she's a shocker, really. I mean, we have not really explored what she's been doing in her homeland for a long time.
There's not an animal left in Iceland, you know.
Well, so you'll be able to chat to a lady. She's coming along to the barbecue. She's doing some of the traditional Icelandic dish, which is, of course, salted shark is one of their... So she's going to be doing that on the barbie. Salted shark.
Now, sauté of lemon.
Can't wait.
Now, listen, we've had an extraordinary week in the news, and we really do need to sort of peel back the veneer on that. We had a global meltdown on the stock exchange.
We did.
I love the way they were saying, you know, we thought this was going to occur on September 11th, but, you know, a few buildings went down, and that sort of postponed it till now. Now, the interesting thing was the New York Stock Exchange had taken a little break, a little hiatus there for 3 days whilst the world went into the red. I think in Australia we lost between $10 billion.
No, more than that, $120 billion.
Kidding. And where does that money go, Coffin Ed?
That's what I want to know.
It wasn't money to start with. It's just air. It's just people speculating.
It's a nightmare. And I'm thinking, hey, what are they going to do to pop this story into the back of the news? How are they actually going to get the heat off this story? And then it happened the next day. Someone murdered Heath Ledger. That was a perfect way to actually punch that story to the back into a column 8 area. And at the same time, NASA finally released, after 4.5 years, an image of the Sasquatch, the Yowie, the Yeti, the Bigfoot there on Mars. And, you know, that's just relegated into the absurdity books, and it's probably the greatest example we've ever had of life in this universe, and it's just sort of laughed away. what sort of a week have we had?
I just
had?
Want to know what that... do you think that's a male figure or a female figure on Mars?
I think it's a bit hard to tell. Mm-hmm. And I want to know, was that... how was that photographed on the surface? Was that the rover or is that a probe that's really doing a very sort of low-level altitude sort of scarp over the surface of Mars? I don't know. What do you think,
well,
Lena?
Well, it's the same lens they use for taking Vox stuff of Nicole Kidman from a long distance across the road.
That lens.
The paparazzi use that lens on Mars now.
And that's how we actually got to see that incredible Scientology video, really, with
that
same
lens.
Yeah, look, and also this whole stock market thing, it's very easy to explain in terms that the layman can understand. The stock market is very much like battery hens, and sometimes the lights are on, sometimes the lights are off. At the moment, they just turn off the lights for a while to the battery hens. Yeah. And so it's like that.
There's no eggs, they're not laying.
That's it, so the lights are off.
Now, another interesting piece of news is this ongoing court case over the death of Diana in Britain. Mm-hmm. And as you'd be aware, another story that was sort of spun in the wrong direction was Trevor Rees-Jones, the bodyguard, actually saying that Henry Paul had not been drinking whatsoever. Now, for him to be the only real survivor of that car crash, there's an interesting thing there. You remember his tongue was removed, and if you go back to Cosa Nostra law, I mean, if you're going to get out there and you're going to gabble the truth, they're going to get rid of your tongue, baby. Yeah. So what a week in the news it has been.
It is, Joe Casson. What a show we've got today. Look, we've got some Australia Day music from those Lovebirds of Soul. The Hipstones are coming in.
Oh, beautiful.
Anthea and Mark, they actually met in Japan in a sushi bar.
You're kidding me.
What a romantic story there.
Relationship starts in a sushi bar.
It does indeed. The guys from Battle are coming in. Is that right? Or
well,
it's a bit of a raw relationship, would you say that? Raw relationship?
Yes, that's right.
Hopefully at about 11:30 we've got a surprise for everyone that listens to our show, and that is, you know, maybe we've got the drummer from Ark of Cain, maybe we've got the drummer from Tomahawk, maybe we've got the drummer from The Battles, and maybe we've just got
the drummer
ourselves.
From The Beatles.
We've got Ringo Starr. You're kidding me. Anyway, that could be around 11:30. It depends what their schedule's like. It depends what happened in Sydney last
Ringo's
night
free.
With them.
He's willing to come in.
His latest album is a shocker. Anyway, so we've got that happening.
And all the regular features on the Naked City.
Yeah,
today.
It's a bit of an excitable one, really, considering the fact we've got this icon of Australian music sitting across from us, Maynard.
I'm glad to see nobody's actually draped in an Australian flag today. No, but I have a confession to make.
He's got the porker's shirt.
The porker's shirt. Yeah. And that is the Australian flag in Newcastle.
That's very Australian.
Yeah. I'm actually wearing a pair of edible undies Australian
again.
Flags.
Well,
you won't be eating them.
No, I'm not touching
them,
man.
You won't be eating them until we put them on the Barbie.
Somebody's actually had a bit of a snack on them. So they're feeling a bit breezy.
Yes.
Are they?
Somebody's eaten out the Union Jack, which was actually the
crotch.
I think that's
beautiful. And I assume you actually did that yourself.
No, I didn't.
It's a bit like the hedgehog. Mm. But look, the brilliance there is, look, there should be no borders, no countries, no flags. And, I mean, really, the bloody, bloody history that occurred in this country.
Underpants.
Let's think about our indigenous culture.
I think we should all freeball it. Yeah,
just as I'm talking about the indigenous culture, I think we should
freeball
it.
Well, they freeball it. They used to.
Oh, Miss Death.
Anyway, here's a bit of jingoism to get you going.
Well, I listen to The Naked City on FBI 94.5. It's got J-Cats. Yes, it's got Miss Death. And a bit of Coffin Ed. I like it. It's naked. Ooh.
Oh, that was a very appropriate version of bublification there.
It was
the land down under.
Bublification of a song there that, what the Down Under? Who did that originally?
Work.
Oh, it was too, yes. That was Wayne Cornell Jr. and his orchestra there, J-Cats.
I love the way he added those things about Chunder.
There's a great Radiators cover on that too, isn't there?
Oh, there is too. Last night on Channel 9, they had the exclusive announcement of Australian of the Year. Now, look, I don't know why they go through this facade every year because,
it was
why
a facade,
should we single out
it?
One single person as the Australian
exactly.
of the Year?
There are many, many people out there that deserve that
Anyone
award.
Can actually make a nomination. And I did, about 3 or 4 months ago, I sent in a bit of a hit list there. And I was just wondering if you'd like to comment on you too, Maynard. Feel free to join in. On some of the people that I suggested could be Australian of the Year. Now, look, Tony Mockbull, I thought, would have been an appropriate choice. He's currently, of course, incarcerated in Greece, but he has flown the flag for Australia internationally.
For white Australia, a long time, yes.
And remember that marvellous wig that he had?
Yeah, that was incredible. Was that
so
a wig?
Is that what you, is that what you nominated the wig?
Well, I nominated the wig.
Yes.
Mig and the wig, because I thought that, you know, if for some reason he was appointed Australian of the Year and he couldn't make it back, they could
send the wig over.
Send the wig back.
In his place.
Mm. I thought you said Tony Mott. I thought he's a great photographer.
No, not Tony Mott.
He hasn't spent as much time in prison.
Now, Jerry G.
Or in Greece.
Yeah.
Jerry G.
Jerry G, of course, who's in a glass case these days.
I think only people from Melbourne remember Jerry G.
Well, Jerry G was a famous ventriloquist doll.
The doll, not the person.
So the doll itself as Australian
Ron
of the Year.
Ron Blaskett, actually.
He's a bit wooden, isn't he?
He actually auctioned him off some years ago. He got $17,000 for it.
That's sad that
it wouldn't be the first time the puppets won the award anyway.
Could you get anything more Australian than Jerry G?
No.
Maybe.
Neil Hamburger. Now, look, he was born in Australia.
He was born in Australia. Yes, he was born in Darwin.
Yeah.
Yes.
I actually lost my virginity on Australia Day. I just remembered that then.
Really?
Yes.
I wish you'd have kept it to yourself.
Oh, no, well, there we go. Well, look.
Yeah.
Thank you. Okay.
You can explain that later for listeners. They're going to be very curious.
What about Corey Delaney? Do you think he'd be a late entry?
I thought he should have been Australian of the Year. He probably typifies Australians at the moment more than anyone else.
Hedonism run
bloody right. Idiots.
Yeah. Yeah.
Prince Leonard.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Little Pebble.
Mm. Yeah. Not Little Pebble, he's in the province.
Sorry, the Hutt River province. Yeah. I'm getting up, my cult's muddled up this morning.
Yeah,
I really am.
A few of his stamps at your
he's
place.
He's not a cult.
Yeah, yeah.
He's not a cult.
He isn't.
And he's
what
a
about,
country.
The late, great Pearl Harbor. I think the ward.
Oh, that was
the,
one of the world's most frightening ambassadors, really.
What a mess.
Any other suggestions there?
Oh, look, I think I just don't want to even go near that. It's such a loaded question when you think about it. And I just think of all the pain and suffering that those
Australians
convicts
of the
brought
year?
Out here.
That's what I think, Mr. Yeah.
Oh, good on you, Mr.
And the coverage was certainly very riveting last night. We were watching.
Wasn't it?
Yeah.
They had the guy come on and read the speech that he'd just been given before he walked on, with lots of pauses for the heckler. That's where you need the digital channel, you know, with the heckler channel on.
The saddest thing is that you can tell instantly that all those people are on antidepressants and they haven't really been followed properly by the prescribers of those antidepressants because they're just too strong and they're moving so slow they might as well be in another dimension.
Mm. Look, it was all a bit stage managed, wasn't it?
Because Lee
Kernaghan came on and said, you know, you should buy Australian. And there was Dick Smith.
Yeah, instantly selling his biscuits to the side that haven't sold. They're all past their use-by date, really.
He's got a warehouse full of that abomination called Aussie Mite. Have you ever tasted it?
Oh, he's a nightmare.
It's like supper with a...
And part of the reason that the show was so tight and so well put together is because the crew and everyone involved in it wanted to get out of Canberra as fast as possible.
An early
show is a good show.
Yeah. And the trouble is, once you start to get out of Canberra, you could end up going round and round in circles for years.
You don't want to end up in Yass.
No. Well, I've been there. It's the Bermuda Triangle of that the highway down there, really, isn't it, Miss Death? Scalar weapons they're using down in
Yass. It's all happening.
Yep.
Yeah. So what do you got for us, Miss Death?
Oh, I don't have anything at the moment.
Well, Australia Day University of the Air, is that coming up? Should we have a track first?
I think we should have a track.
Yeah, I think we should have a track. I think we should go to the matriarchs of Australian rock music, and that's the Saints.
The chances of meeting a dinosaur in today's world are very slim.
The Naked City.
This monster is venereal disease.
Naked City, baby! You know you like it. It's the Naked City.
The Naked City.
Oh, going out there with a bit of an electronic fuzz belch on our signal strength this morning. Don't worry if you think it's you
barbecue.
And it's your receiver. It's actually Maynard doing an Australian Day sizzle.
Yep, I'm doing the sausage.
I'm actually blaming it on Bjork. She's been spotted in the neighbourhood and she's just sending out those high octave notes there that just getting into our transmitter and buggering it up.
You know, the other night up there at the Bex Bar, and I don't know if people realise that the High Bucks Barracks was one of the most bloody ritual sites that they ever used for the colony here, and they're all dancing around. They don't realise they're dancing in a flogging triangle.
Mm.
Anyhow, we're waiting for the battles
to
come.
Is it a triangle or a rectangle?
We should introduce our guest here, Miss Death.
Yes, we should. How are you?
I've been better.
Oh, really? What happened?
No, I'm fine.
All right, okay.
It's John Steiner. Yes. And John, we are so privileged to have you here. We were searching for an Australian of the Year, and we've appointed you as that Australian of the Year here today on Australia Day.
Wow.
Now, sitting to the left of you is one of the most unsung heroes of Australian radio. His career has been chopped, hacked, kicked in the guts, and he's still alive. That's Maynard.
Look, at he even got a smile for me at this time of the AM, and I think he's doing it pretty well.
John
he's
didn't
never
go to bed till 6 in the morning, and he's been back up at 8. Mm. Across from you there is one of the oldest personalities on Australian radio, Coffin Ed. And you can see that we had to get him out of a hospital bed this morning, but quite remarkable. And, of course, myself, Jay Katz, and the wife, Miss Death. Now, you've had an extraordinary relationship with this country, haven't you?
Yeah, definitely.
And you've had a lot of promoters, actually. They've seen your talent and they've wanted to exploit it. I'm not going to go into names on the show this morning, but they've positioned you strategically in many Australian bands, but one of them most Australians would know is the Mark of Cain. Mm-hmm. Does that relationship still exist there, or is it burnt?
Oh, absolutely. I'm recording a record with them the second the big day out is over.
Oh, you're kidding. Is there any time for sleep in your schedule?
I'm going to be stuck in Adelaide for 2 weeks.
Yeah, wow. Adelaide's pretty scary. Ooh. Don't go driving in the hills alone. Don't go near any banks.
Stay away from bank vaults.
Yeah. I know all about it.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah, it's quite a lovely spot. I recommend the car boot markets in Adelaide, John, if you've got a free Sunday, seeing thousands of people just selling everything they own out of their boot. And it's a shocker. You actually sort of walk around and around in circles in this old drive-in that's actually been closed, and what's left is the car park. So that's something. And Porthole Records there in Adelaide?
Yeah, I've been to that.
Yeah.
Aren't they closed?
Take an oxygen mask, because the guy's a smoker and the whole place is just dripping in nicotine. But it's an amazing record store. So, look, 2 weeks in Adelaide, there could be worse things.
Yeah. Abu I do Grave. Like the weather there.
Yeah.
The weather.
Yep. It's the only weather that's sort of not that inconvenient a truth in this country at the moment. Sydney's been
going through
monsoons.
This conversation has degenerated to talking about the weather.
Yeah.
Come on, let's pick it up.
All right. Now, you're out here with a band that's actually really
yes, ma'am.
On the end of everyone's lips. The Battles. How long have the Battles been around for?
Battles has been around for 5 years.
And it's Battles. It's not the Battles. It's just Battles.
But a lot of people do that, so that's okay.
Now, has that idea come from your head, or is it a collaboration? The band itself.
The band?
Because witnessing that band, you really look like, to me, you were leading the charge there the other night at the Bex Bar.
Well, thank you. But, no, it's definitely a collaborative effort. Definitely. It's really, like, Ian... met Tayande, so they kind of got the ball rolling in Brooklyn, and then I ran into Ian on the street in Brooklyn, who I had known previously before from his old bands, and then we just kind of took it from there. But it took a long time. It took a good almost year and a half before we had any idea of what we were doing. So
well, it's quite a unique sound in many ways. I mean, the one thing that slipped into my mind listening to you was, oddly enough, the late, great Snakefinger. I don't know if you remember Snakefinger on Ralph Records.
That's a no.
You know, back in the time of the first Residence Records, and he actually died after coming out here on tour. Yeah. Can you believe that? Yeah, killed him, this country. And I don't want that to happen to you.
Was it?
But,
on the finger.
There's not really what you call lead singing in that band, is there at all? It's sort of something else.
Yeah, I mean, the earlier records, there were vocals, but they were like used more as like an instrument. So on our new record, our latest record, we wanted to introduce vocals because I think that Ty has a really good voice.
Hmm.
But we didn't want to just come out with Battles now with vocals, featuring lead singer. So we didn't want to do it like that. So we kind of just introduced it in strange ways. So maybe the next record will be like The Smiths, where he starts from the beginning and just doesn't shut up until the very end.
But he always seems to have something unique to say.
Yeah.
Worthy. Yeah. Now, what about the work with Tomahawk? I mean, that latest album was very interesting, and it seemed to have, speaking of Australia Day, it had a real Indigenous American Indian flavor to it. So is everything going well with Tomahawk?
Very well, yeah. I mean, we turned down a tour. It's my fault, unfortunately, but then again,
too many fingers in too many pies, I'd say.
But that's a good thing.
I think so. Mm. Yeah. It is a good thing.
Mm. Yeah.
But they called me, like, as I'm walking out the door to come down here to do something for all, I'm not going to tell you what it is, but for all of January and half of February.
Something quite
lucrative.
Mm. Ooh.
But that I had to turn down.
So does that mean that they had to turn it down too?
Yeah.
And that's working for the Republican
Party. Not popular
at the
moment.
Be careful about that, really. I mean, the only lucrative
Mitt
Americans
Romney's
left.
Campaign
I'm going to newt a green. Yeah, but anyway. All right. You go way back to Helmet. I mean, people sort of, you know, just admire that band so greatly, and they're so influential. Can you give us any little ditties about them? I suppose it's a hard thing to do on a couple of hours sleep.
It's like, what do you want to say about that?
Well, it was something that existed for... I was in the group for 10 years. So from the beginning until, what was that? 1999, maybe. So, it was great. It was fun. Did a lot of really cool things. Made some really good records.
You must have done some amazing gigs too. I mean, did you guys ever perform with the Swans? They were one of my favorite bands in that early time.
No.
You know?
Yeah. Uh-huh. We did do the, I think it was the second big day out ever. That was really fun.
Yeah.
It was smaller. It was with like Iggy Pop and Nick Cave and Beast of Bourbon. So that was great. It was in a different place. It was in the
Showground.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah, the original showground.
Yeah. It was cool.
And I remember when Iggy came on stage, put out a cigarette out on himself, spat on himself, and leaped into the crowd before he even sang a note. That's how he started his show that time.
He doesn't do that anymore. I just saw him.
Well, I can understand why.
But he still
what
asks.
A pity.
He asks so many members out of the audience to come up on stage with him still, doesn't he?
Yeah, that's his, like, thing.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
And so we've got friends that have all over the world stood on stage with Iggy. You know, it's. I think everyone's going to get that. It's another 15 minutes of fame, basically.
Yeah, it's they look good in pictures.
He actually asked for an ashtray in his rider now.
Oh, really?
I'm glad to hear that.
Is that what it is? Finally, they've given him an ashtray. So what are other projects? I assume you've got tons of them going on, John.
Well... Do I? There's three bands and then just random things here and there. I know that's an extremely vague and lame answer, but
no. I mean, I'm feeling a bit vague and lame, as you can tell myself. Look, you know, your relationship with Australia. How do you feel about Australia? I mean, you're very close to several major promoters out here, and you're linked in with some extraordinary bands, Australian bands. Do you feel like an expat sometimes when you leave the country? Or
I do, and I'm assuming that now we're kind of going into the Australia Day.
Yeah, you're
gently pushing me in that direction.
Yeah.
Okay.
I want you to become a citizen today.
The population of this country is disgraceful, so I don't know where we're... We call it Invasion Day, really. Yeah.
I mean, yeah, it's... I mean, a citizenship would be nice. Why not?
Yeah, yeah.
I think I deserve it.
Yeah, so, I think
you
do.
I've been here enough... I've put up with all kinds of things here. I've been here... I think I counted the other day before I came here, and I think I've been here 28 times.
Wow.
That's a lot for an American.
That's a fortune in departure tax, too, you know.
That really is. I mean, for that alone, you should be given Australian
kind
of the Year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And half the time, it's, unfortunately, which is the worst flight known to man, is New York to Los Angeles, get out of the plane, have to run across the airport, get in another plane, L.A. to Sydney, clear customs, Sydney to Adelaide.
Oh, God.
Ugh.
Wow.
It takes like 2.5 days.
And that's
and
what?
I'll do that at a drop of a hat.
What's in Adelaide?
An airport. a landing strip.
I ask myself
is
that question constantly.
Talkative serial killers.
And that alone, I mean, I was talking to you outside. You're one of the most loyal people that we've ever met that's toured this country. If you have an emotional bond with John, he's always in touch with you and making sure that you're able to get to see him at gigs, and very few artists are like that. And look, I think maybe it is that air flight, you know, those people actually on the second time round go, I am not doing that again. I mean, take me to Abu Ghraib. I'll be happy with that for a couple of weeks.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. If you're down here, I think that's the least you can do, is keep in contact with the friends that you make down here. So that's important to me.
And it's important to us. For God's sake, we get no free tickets to anything anymore. But anyway, what I was going to say, what kicked off in your life musically? Were you from a musical family?
Yeah, definitely.
You know, any names there in the family that we should be aware of? Were your parents recording artists? What was the story there?
My dad actually played tenor, and he recorded with Cannonball Adderley. Who's that other guy? Well, he played with Don Cherry for a little bit.
Coffin's impressed.
Mm. Yeah, stuff like that.
What was his name?
Don.
Mr. Steiner.
Getting it right there.
Gee, so yeah, it was one of those stereotypical like extreme bohemian upbringing.
Fantastic.
Like the first apparently, I don't remember this, but the first concert I ever went to was Sun Ra. There's a picture of him holding. I'm like, I don't think I've even won yet.
And he was holding you.
Oh yeah, it's framed in our
house. Oh man,
with this huge glitter cape, and I'm like this big.
Got the closest.
And look at me now.
That is amazing.
What a shot. Touched by Sun Ra. I'm impressed.
I would love to see a copy of that photo. I tell you what, the closest we got to Sun Ra was Blowfly last year. Jeff brought him out, and there was like 40 people at the gig. But what he was wearing was very similar to Sun Ra, and he was a beautiful man. Very potty mouth, but a true Christian. Great guy. Look, we might listen to a track from Tomahawk here. You've lined up a track. Do you know what track that is, Coffin Ed?
No.
It's getting hard for him to see these days.
Tell me your favourite.
That one?
Yeah.
Do you have the new one?
No.
No, let's just go with that one, John.
Okay, sorry.
It's public radio.
Okay,
yeah, don't push us.
There's no money.
We've got a budget.
It's all charity.
Play track number one.
Okay.
Oh, we're in complete chaos in here, aren't we, Coffin Ed? But it's beautiful. We've got the one and only John Stainer with us, and that was a bit of your work with Tomahawk there. How do you find the mic pattern to work with? Everyone's got that question. You know, I've found the times that I've worked with him, I've had kids come up that are totally obsessed. They love him completely, and then they tell me, I bet he's a bloody arsehole to work for. What is that thing, that love-hate relationship?
I don't know. I think he's. I think a lot of that is blown way out of proportion. I think he's
totally
quite normal. Actually.
Yeah,
borderline boring.
Yeah,
but
I don't think boring at all.
No,
but I think quite normal.
Yeah, he's very normal, and his actually to work with him is really actually refreshing because he's really good at what he does, and he nails things like right off the bat,
really quickly.
Oh yeah, there's just no question.
I'm actually caught before his Peeping Tom tour last year. I caught the Mondo Carne stuff he'd done in Italy, which was profound. I don't know if you'd seen that, where he's actually with a big orchestra.
It's all like early 60s.
It's
Italian
reworking songs. Like the theme from Danger Diabolic and Morricone tunes and all that great Italo pop.
Right.
But in a slightly fractured, fantomous way.
Mm-hmm.
And it was beautiful to actually observe it. One of the drummer, I think, was like 76 years of age, Italian drummer. And he'd be singing the melodies beautifully and in that great sort of high-pitched... it's amazing the scales he can actually touch on. And all of a sudden, switching to the fantomous type sound, and then the whole sort of band just sort of grabbing their clothing and smirking and trying to hide their smiles. And
right.
Just an incredible notion to inspire people and rework all that material that was great in its time, still is, but when it's given that contemporary flex that he puts on it, shit.
I want to hear that, definitely.
Yeah, it's just beautiful. And he said to me, where did you actually see this... Jamie, and I said, well, look, I'm sorry, but it's all over YouTube, the phone. And, you know, it's dreadful to actually hear the music basically through the phone and the way that all that sound is suppressed. But, I mean, it was fascinating for me to see it. And I've always loved that crossover period in Italy. I mean, what Morricone was doing as a pop writer before he was orchestrating was astounding. He was actually basically changing the notion of melody in their completely spiraling melodies with songs like Say Telefonando. And, you know, these are songs I've never mentioned to Mike, and then the next thing, he's singing them. And it's that thing of, like, he seems to be thinking in the Jungian sense. He's out there in that collective consciousness tapping into something that all of us love.
I do think that he's lucky in the sense that he is it's almost like he's like a one-man band. Like, he does what he does really well, and it's just him.
Yeah.
So that means that that's why he can be in 50 bands, because it's just him. So he doesn't have to check with anyone else. It's not four people, five people going into a studio or whatever. So it's just kind of endless. So
And he seems to have inspired so many great musicians he's worked with, and he's so eclectic in picking up musicians everywhere. And Peeping Tom was astounding. When I saw the 19-year-old DJ, I thought, well, my job is over, done, and finished. That guy was profound. He actually came on and did, for the encore, they did a reworking of the Womack song Across 110th Street. Mm-hmm. And I sort of said to him, would you ever cover Curtis Mayfield? And he looked at me and said, I can't cover Curtis Mayfield. What I do is in my head, and what Curtis did was in his heart. Mm. And so his honesty is another thing, like yourself, that just cuts straight through you with a knife. My God. When would Tomahawk be touring next? Can we get a little any idea on that?
I really don't know. That's just, it's so, everyone is involved in other things in Tomahawk, many other things. And now that Dwayne is in another band, he's in a band called USSA now that he just started with Paul from Ministry.
Yep.
So now he's really busy with that, and, you know, Battles has taken off much more than I ever thought.
Which is fantastic.
And
people are really embracing them.
Definitely. I feel very, very fortunate.
And it was quite amazing for me to see the crowd there at the Bex Bar, of which I assume quite of them were probably conservative thinkers these days, but just sort of all of a sudden, bang, a little bit of a surrealist approach to things, and they were totally into it.
Yeah, that was a really, really fun show.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Now, you know, what are some of the musicians today or in the past that have inspired you? I know these questions are always...
It's just so across the board.
There's probably so many, and it's such a general question. I shouldn't hit you with that. Maybe I should ask you what films you love. There's another general question.
Well,
my God, it's the fishing
net. I don't have time to watch movies.
Yeah.
I just don't. I watch more movies on the flight down here on Qantas than I have in like half a year.
Yeah.
I don't have the time.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I suppose, can we step back then into your past? What were the things when you were younger, when you did have time, that sort of stay in your mind now? Are there any little examples? I suppose why I ask these questions is you always look for that similarity and you go, my God, was he obsessed with the same things I was back then, you know?
I think it's definitely the typical, you know, punk rock, very, very punk rock. So for a long time, and then moved to New York, dropped out of college and moved to New York, and then discovered many, many, many other things and sort of took it from there.
What were you doing in college? What were you studying?
I was an orchestral percussion major.
Oh, beautiful. Well, you can see that works carried over, can't you? Big time.
With a minor in mallets.
Oh, fantastic.
So I haven't really put that to good use, but...
And I see Bobby's wearing the mullet T-shirt
out there,
so
save
it's a line
mullet.
Somewhere. Mm-hmm. Mallets, mullets. What's on tonight for you?
Is it your day off today?
A lot of barbecues.
Yep.
A lot of Bloody Marys.
All right.
Nice.
A lot of celebrating Australia.
Uh-huh.
Well, maybe, you know, if you get a chance after the barbecues and the Bloody Marys, you could drag some of those field people. We're doing our Sounds of Seduction nightclub in the University of Sydney's grounds, and we're going till 3 in the morning.
Wow.
So maybe you could just wander down there. You guys are all on that door list, so just come down and wreck the joint for about half an hour. Do the big Australian thing. Wear those Corey glasses and the big hoodie with the...
and looks like a come off flag as a cape.
Yeah, I'll forget the flag.
No
borders. No borders for us.
Okay,
yeah, we're universalists.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
So maybe you can wander down there, maybe not. But that even just saying that will help me to get an extra 100 people into the venue tonight.
That's actually good because there's a couple of barbecues, but, well, there's two barbecue offers, but they're on the separate sides of the city.
Yeah.
One is in the beach and the other one is kind of close to here, I think, although I don't really know where
they're
at. But so it's kind of one or the other. That's what I've been told by Bob, our magic tour man.
And for the rest of your time out here, I guess it's the big day outs in every state.
Yep.
And then it's recording with the Mark of Cain.
Yes.
And
a couple sideshows as well.
Yeah. And how's love going?
Very good. I live in New York and Cologne, Germany.
Oh, beautiful.
So when I'm not on tour, I'm in Cologne.
So you got two chicks. Is that what you're saying? One in each country? Is that right?
No,
okay,
that's not what I'm saying.
And anything in the future we should know about? I mean,
like, am I going to get married?
Yeah, anything like that?
Oh, I don't know, maybe.
Yeah.
Are you living with someone?
No.
Oh, you're not? Okay.
Well, actually, yeah. I am. I kind of am. Yeah.
What do you mean you kind of are?
Well, I kind of am.
It's like being kind of pregnant. You either are or you're not.
I live in Germany and New York.
Oh, right. Okay.
In fact, you know what? I live on the road. I live on the road.
You live on the road.
That's right.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Traveling man.
Well, look, John, it's a real privilege, and I thank you so much because you've had so little sleep. You've been doing so much work, and it's, you know, you're just someone we really adore. And as far as we're concerned, here on the Naked City, this man is Australian
of the year.
Oh, man.
Now, Maynard, you've got one... No, really. Seriously. You've got one little piece you want to play for us before we leave this mortal coil here.
Yeah, look, people just asked what I've been doing lately. I had a chance to have a chat with Sean McAuliffe, who's done that great show Newstopia this year on SBS. You're all alma mater there.
Well, they sacked me. They got rid of me. They cancelled me.
I thought you were going to be the weather guy. That's what I was hoping for.
Yeah, well...
Look, I won't go any more there. I don't want to damage your career any further.
No, it's already damaged. I've done it myself. What is this, Sean McAuliffe?
I had a quick chat to Sean McAuliffe about his show Newstopia and about what it was like working at Channel 9 and getting sacked at Channel 9.
Oh, yes.
An all-seeing, all-knowing, three-headed news-gathering cyclops. Its name, Newstopia.
Say your name and press the hash key.
Maynard!
Hello! I got no idea what I'm doing half the time. You could throw a reference to Proust in and people go, yes.
Oh, he's obviously been to uni.
Yes.
So was this a problem with your Channel 9 period there because you were being maybe a little bit too highbrow or absurd for what was seen to be there? I don't know the full backstory of what went on there. I just know that you moved your show to Channel 9 and then suddenly it wasn't there one week when I went to watch.
Well, it was... Look, it's very easy to appear highbrow on Channel 9. I thought it was funny enough. It was probably a little bit... It probably needed to relax a little bit at that time, which is 4 years ago now. I think Channel 9 wanted a certain size ratings to justify a program. I think that's probably fair enough.
Do you think that the problem with commercial TV, and you've had other experiences with commercial TV, is that they don't give shows room to breathe?
Yeah, they don't. They don't. I don't know whether they can... They don't actually literally seem to be able to afford to do that. And I must admit, I was quite relieved because it was getting a little hard to do. And I could see the writing on the wall. So in that case, in that instance, it wasn't that much of a surprise. And yeah, I was actually quite happy to have a bit of a holiday because it was very difficult to do. And I don't recommend it to anybody, Maynard. If you're thinking of doing it, you know, think very carefully, my friend. Wow. It'll kill you.
So how would you do it? Would you describe it as a roller coaster or driving a hot rod into a wall?
Well, a roller coaster suggests some highs and moments of elation. I think your car into the wall. It's a question of where the wall is and whether you can see that wall as you approach it.
Ah, so you're driving against a cement wall in the dark with no lights on.
No lights on at all.
Okay.
It's a black wall, I think.
Kofi Annan. You do a great Kofi Annan. My favourite sketch of the whole season so far is that what colour should the berets be worn by UN soldiers?
Yes, I was aware of the problem of the berets. Here are some I was working on. This one is amber. It says, proceed with caution, watch out. This lime number here says, I'm fun, but a little bit crazy. That would have come in very handy in Angola.
Yes, Sean McAuliffe is Kofi Annan, working through a few of the different colours that
there
Kofi
you go,
was with.
Yes.
And there was the
well, that'd be a very important thing, wouldn't it?
Yes.
The colour of the berets.
He had the tartan one, which just says, hello, I'm drunk.
Uh-huh.
And I thought that was quite good as well.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yes,
it's all good.
His experience at Channel 9 there of being sacked. And when you look back at his work at Channel 9, it was...
When was he there?
About 4 years ago. It was only on for a couple of weeks, and the show got...
Oh, right,
got,
okay.
That they really didn't like it there. And
God.
And you could... Watching it back on YouTube, and a lot of it's available on YouTube and on DVD, he's got out as well. He is giving a very intense performance there. You can tell he's a man on the edge there, but it's great stuff to watch.
They don't understand on the edge at Channel 9, do they?
And some of his funniest stuff.
Mm.
Yeah, you know. I thought he was pretty good there, but I thought, man, didn't the people who booked him at Channel 9 see his show on the ABC?
Yeah. That would have been an indication of what he was going to dish them up.
Like.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
I remember when he had the blender sitting on his desk there with a goldfish in it? Remember that?
Yes.
That's very edgy.
He physically had a high horse, so every time he had an issue, he'd get on the high horse to talk about it. I thought, why not?
Yeah,
why not?
Go.
And the A Current Affair dancer that you never saw was also a very good sketch too. Yeah. They had an interpretive dancer at A Current Affair just to the left of Ray Martin, uh-huh. who just dances whenever their sting's on for a couple of seconds.
Why is it that stations, you know, they take those shows on as a project and you almost know they're going to kill them off? You know?
Yeah.
Well, look, I just meant that they don't give shows time to breathe. And yeah. as Sean mentioned, in America, they'll do 8 or 9 pilots.
That show, they put a plastic bag over it before they even started.
Yeah, I know. It's kind of, you think, someone has convinced upper management to get someone to do the show.
Yes.
But upper management hasn't really understood what they've
about.
Got themselves into. Mm. And then when someone who owns the station or something like that sees it and going, what's this all about? Yeah.
Mm. Look, we've got to get out of here. It's,
yes, we do. If you're kicking around tonight and nowhere to go, get yourselves down to the Manning Bar.
It'll be a hot ding-dang time.
It will be. Mm. It will be. At the Manning Bar at the University of Sydney for Sounds of Seduction. And on Monday night at the Cult Cinema Monday, Sisters with Margot Kidder and De Laurentiis?
Mm.
De Laurentiis directed Wednesday, don't forget Putney Swope for marginalised movies at the Museum Archives. Mm. Hey, what are you doing? That's outrageous. Oh, it's gone midday. All right, if you need any more information on the stuff that we're doing, get onto the our website, mumeson.org.
Oh, I think Anna's at the door.
Org. Okay. Yes, she is. She's coming in. Okay, we'll be back next week.
Or maynard.com.au. If you want
to that too. Okay, bye.